Welcome to Marriage Heart to Heart. We're Tom and Elaine Waters with Restoration International.
Today we're going to be talking about when counseling is necessary. We're going to look at three vital keys in counseling. So we hope that you have a paper and pencil.
So is counseling necessary sometimes?
It is sometimes necessary.
You know, the sad thing is that many people go to too many of the wrong people to get counseling when it really isn't necessary. They just really want to tell their story to somebody. So we want to talk about today when it's necessary and how to go about getting the right kind of counsel when it is necessary.
You know, sometimes, honey, people feel inadequate. They just don't feel like they're equipped. The problems may not be all that big, and every problem is resolvable through Christ. But some people feel inadequate, or they feel the pain is too great, the hurt is too deep. Some people don't feel that they can express themselves right. Mm-hmm.
I remember a couple that came to me at one of our family camps. And I remember the desperation in his voice. And he said, "I feel like we need counseling." He was desperate to get help. And he said, "But I don't want to break the sacred circle. I know that there is a sacred circle around every home." And he said, "I want to be sensitive not to do that." And so he said, "I feel like we need counseling, but I don't know if my wife really wants to get counseling. And I'm afraid of going outside of that family circle. I'm afraid of breaking it by going to someone." He said, can you tell me, what should I do?" And I said, "Well, I certainly respect you for not wanting to break that sacred circle. Too many people today are breaking that sacred circle, unnecessarily bringing friends and family in that can't really help them. I said, but if you are at a point in your marriage where you are not finding the answers and things are going into what we call the fatal cycle and the communication is getting more and more difficult, then I said, if you're going to break that sacred circle from within, then you need to consider that it may be time to get godly, principled counsel." So he said, "Well, I'm going to go back and talk to my wife." Well, a few hours later, as you remember, honey, he came back and he said, "We need time together. Can we set an appointment?" So we set up an appointment and we began to share with this couple. And within the first probably few minutes, 10 minutes maybe, of sharing together, this woman began to share with us that not only was she about to break that sacred circle, she had already planned her suicide. And this was not going to be an attempt. It was well planned out. Her husband did not have any idea of how far she had gone in this process and how desperate they were. But I thank the Lord that he was sensitive that they needed help.
So that utter helplessness that she experienced, and that I think he was experienced, led them to seek counsel, even though it's not comfortable to open up your weaknesses and your problems to someone else. Well, let's talk about three areas that we need to be sensitive to when we seek counseling. This is very important. You know, so often when people want to share about the problems in their marriage, it's all to tell about how bad the other person is. And that is one of the most important keys in counseling, is that you don't go to the counselor to put the other person down. You go to the counselor to seek a solution and a resolution. Yes, the story must come out.
That's right.
But it's not going there to tell all my side of the story, to gain sympathy for myself. And I think this is one of the greatest deadly aspects of counseling or sharing, thinking that people are going to be getting counsel, is that they go to share their experience to gain sympathy for the position, why they are in the mess that they're in their marriage. And so the most important thing to start with is that when we seek counsel from someone else, that we go there not to gain sympathy for my position, but we go to really express what's happening from our perspective, my husband from his perspective, and then that individual is seeking to restore. I can remember one lady who called and she said, "We are in trouble. We are in trouble." She and her husband were separated. And they were now at the point of fighting over who's going to have the child.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted help. She wanted counseling. She was at the end. But she started to share all her side of the story to gain sympathy for why she chose to walk away from her husband. And in that situation, it's very important that the counselor seeks God for direction as well. And as I was listening to her, I said, "Do you love your husband?" And there was this pause on the phone. "Well, yes, I do." "Well, do you really love your husband?" Another long pause. "Yes, I really do." "And you love him, but you're in a separation. Now you're ready to consider divorce. You're fighting over your child, but yet in your heart you still love your husband." And I shared with her this verse that the Lord showed me many years ago that helped to change my position in our marriage. And it was a positive influence in our marriage. It's found in 1 Corinthians 7:14. "The unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife."
Amen.
Now, that unbelieving husband isn't necessarily a husband who isn't of the same faith or doesn't believe in God. It means a husband who is struggling in his own person, in his own Christian walk, that he isn't really believing in what God can do. If the wife will hold on to the Lord, she can be a tool in God's hands to change that situation. And that husband can be sanctified or brought to the Lord through her influence. Mm-hmm. And as I shared that with her that day, it was very encouraging. And she broke down and she started crying and she says, "I really don't even want to be separated from my husband. I just didn't know what to do. My pain and my hurt are so deep and his anger is so intense that we just separated for survival." And within just a couple of days, she was back in the home and they were starting to work through things. And it was exciting to see. And I challenged her, "Pray for God to do a miracle." She says, "You don't understand. My husband is a workaholic. He works 12, 14 hours a day, 5, 6, sometimes 7 days a week." Hmm. You know, no wonder there's stress in the marriage. I said, "Just pray that God will put it in his heart." You know, and I encouraged her to attend a family camp meeting. She said, "There's no way." "When's the next one?" I said, "Next week." "No way is this going to happen." And 1 week later, or it was a little longer than a week, they were there.
That's right.
The Lord provided the opportunity, and they are a very happy couple.
Yeah, it's the joy in seeing people responding to proper counsel, biblical, godly counsel, giving them hope again. Because I remember when the first time you talked to that lady and how hopeless she felt.
Mm-hmm.
And then in such a short time, within, you know, a couple of weeks, to see the testimony that they had was so powerful.
As she was allowing God to deal with her hurt, it was the encouragement her husband needed to deal with his anger.
Mm-hmm.
And they were both being restored simultaneously. And it brought a beautiful relationship. I mean, the peace and the joy that's in the home, the love that radiates between them. I mean, whenever we see them, I mean, it's just like, you know, those love electrons are going back and forth. You can just see it in their experience.
Yes, and that's what we want other people to recognize. You can have a marriage that's heart to heart. Don't let the devil tell you that it only works for other people and, it can't happen for me and my problems are too difficult, because there is life-changing power in the gospel of Jesus Christ, power to change your situation and to give you solutions to the difficulties that you're facing. The second area that we need to talk about is, all right, we need to seek counseling. So where do we go for counseling? I remember one couple that called and they said, you know, we are so afraid of counseling. We know the kind of work that your ministry does and we know of some of the results that God has blessed with. But they said, we went to our pastor, unfortunately, and we thought that we were going to get godly counsel. And 1 week later, we came to church and we found out that nearly the entire church knew the inside story of our pain and suffering. That is tragic. So realize that if you've come to a place that you need counseling, that you need to then go to someone who's going to provide you unbiased counseling. Mm-hmm. They're not your friend, and they're going to take your side, and they're going to say, yeah, your husband, your wife, or whatever is terrible, and you ought to get rid of them. Because we hear a lot of people's stories, and many times they're coming saying, you know, everybody in my church is telling me that I need to get rid of my husband. You're the first person that's telling me that there's a solution and that I don't have to get rid of my husband. So you want to go to an unbiased counselor and someone that you can be confident is not going to tell your story to the other people around.
Mm-hmm. Now, there may be times when there may be a family member who can truly take that position and
that's
be
right.
unbiased, but it's not very often that that happens. And so that's very important that the person that is being sought for counseling, that person has a walk with God and they only give counsel based off the principles of God's Word. Otherwise, we are
right.
subject to man's ideas, man's wisdom, man's philosophies and psychology that always lead to a dead-end street. They may bring about some external changes in the marriage, but the deeper heart work isn't there. That deep heart work only comes from Jesus Christ. And that's why it's important that we seek a Christian counselor.
So the third area is that it comes from biblical principles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I found that even in counseling with people who may not see things exactly the same way or even be of our faith or even be calling themselves Christians, those people are desirous of what God's Word offers. And if we bring that to them in a very personal and practical way, they can see firsthand the power of God's life-changing Word.
Mm-hmm. So the first area was, don't go to a counselor to get sympathy. Don't go to someone to get sympathy.
That's right.
Find a godly counselor who's going to use the third aspect, the third key, biblical principles for
that's right.
that counseling.
Okay, so it's not for self-pity and sympathy. It's finding someone that you can have confidence in, that's got a demonstrated walk with God and is abiding with those principles. And then you can see that the counsel that they're going to share is coming from those principles, from the principles of God's Word. Those three things are very powerful. And we've seen the effect of those things in many, many people's lives. We need to take a break now. When we come back, we're going to be talking about more of the things that we can experience if we need counseling that can make the life-changing difference so that we can have a marriage heart to heart. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. As we're talking about when we need counseling, what do we do? I want to just share with you that one of the modern psychologies that's out there that's very prevalent wants you to rehearse all these things that you've gone through. And we were at another of our family camp meetings, and a couple came to us, and she was having a terrible time working through the past. She had been sexually abused as a child and in her teenage years. And the counseling that she was receiving was only making her more fearful, was only making it more alive in her mind and more difficult to trust her husband, who was not the one that she needed to be distrusting at all. He was trying in every way to work through this and tenderly bring her through. And you can remember, as we sat with them that evening, talking together alone, that she was going through terrible trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason was because the counseling that she had been going through was asking her to dig up all of the past. Now, their motives were good,
mm-hmm.
okay? Dig up all the past, write out as much of it as she could remember, then burn it. Now, that may sound very good, but I want to tell you that I've dealt with more than a few that have come from this kind of psychological philosophy. that we need to bring this stuff all up, get it out on paper, process it, and burn it. But I want to ask you something, because I know this is true for my wife. If she makes a shopping list, a grocery list, let's say, to go to town, what do you think happens if she walks out the door and forgets her grocery list? Here's the question. Do you remember it better because you've written it down, or would you have been better off not having a list at all and never writing anything down? What happens in that situation?
We always remember better what we write down.
That's right.
I mean, all through school we're taught to take notes, so we remember what we've heard.
That's right.
And so this idea of writing everything that's been bad in your life and writing it out and how you felt about it and who the people were and what happened in detail only brings it very vivid. It has to be relived
That's right.
in the mind. And it's not easily forgotten. And I know that it made it difficult for this lady because all of the distrust of the past, because of the pain she went through and the trauma she went through with men, made it very difficult for her to believe
That's
that
right.
her husband really loved her, because she had never experienced true love. All through childhood and her teenage years prior to her marriage, she never experienced pure, holy love a man would give a woman. And so it made it very difficult for her to believe it was possible. And the battle was very great in her mind.
Mm, that's right. Well, let's talk about the biblical principle, because we believe that God's Word has a solution to every problem. It has a principle or a group of principles that we can go to help formulate what do we do in these situations. Philippians 3, the 13th and 14th verses says that forgetting those things which are behind, doing what?
Forgetting them. Don't recall them. Don't bring them
back.
Don't
rehearse them.
Don't rehearse them.
But forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. What would that mean, reaching forth unto the things that are before? That means looking for the new mm-hmm. things that, in this case, her husband was trying to offer her.
Mm-hmm. The reality
That's right.
of what he had in his heart for her. He truly loved her. The past was, he wasn't interested in her past. He loved her for who she was.
That's right.
And that's where she had to put her thoughts.
Yes. And then it goes on and it says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's Christ that will help us go through this process. And it is for the prize. And of course, this verse talks about the ultimate prize that's out there for us, eternal life, receiving the crown of life. But it's also talking about a process here
mm-hmm.
that we can experience, that we can go through together with the Lord. He will help us forget. And mm-hmm. one of the ways that he helps us forget is he gives us better thoughts to think.
That's
he gives
right.
us a new way of dealing with it. Instead of living mm-hmm. in the old lies, he gives us the truth of the present circumstances that we can build upon and grow into. Mm-hmm.
That's why I think he tells us through the Apostle Paul that we need to think on those things that are pure, holy, just, good, and lovely.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to spend our time dwelling on. Doesn't mean that we ignore real needs, but some of the old past, the things that we've failed in or that we've been taken advantage of, are ravaged by in the past. We can leave those thoughts behind and choose to think on what is truth, what is reality. And for her, reality was her husband really loved and cared for her. And she developed trust in him, and she developed respect for him as a man. And their marriage grew beautifully, and she trusted him. And you could see the difference. I mean, they just blossomed as a couple when that took place.
Yeah. It's so beautiful, because it's nice to be able to tell the end of these stories mm-hmm. because these are real people. These are not stories that we've read in a book or heard on a tape. These are real people that we know whose lives have been eternally changed because of the principles of God's Word, because they weren't just going for counseling to get sympathy. They were coming to receive biblical, godly counseling. They were coming to have confidence that the person that they were talking to, that we were not going to share this with anyone else, as we never do. And so there's hundreds of people that would fit this description mm-hmm. that we're making right now, but these people never have to be concerned that their names will ever be used or that they will be identified by any particular things that they went through. So it's nice to be able to tell the end of these stories and to know what that couple and their family is experiencing today mm-hmm. because there's hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
There is. There's hope, there's power, and there's peace. And then we experience that joy that God wants us to experience in our marriages.
Amen.
And that's what's exciting. You know, you don't just have to write it down, though, to remember it, to have it cause those things. I remember one woman, well, this has happened more than a few times. You know, she and her husband were in difficulties, and they were trying to work it out, and they would make progress, and then she would fall back into some of her old ways of thinking, and they were really struggling. And finally, a dear friend of theirs convinced them to seek this particular individual to counsel with. And the person came with good recommendations. Now, it's interesting that the lady, the wife in this situation, had a caution. And I want to highlight this. She wasn't quite comfortable with it, but because a dear friend suggested that she get counseling, she put her trust in that friend instead of in the cautions that God had given her. So they proceeded with the counseling. And at the end of that, she said, all he wanted to know is what happened. What did you go through? How did you feel when these things were taking place in your life? And at the end of it all, she got physically ill from having to, again, relive that past that was so ugly and so demoralizing to her. She got physically ill, and instead of it helping her husband to understand where she came from, because of her response and just having to relive it, it created a bigger gulf between them. And they've had to you know, recover from that and begin again, you know. There's been things in your past that I don't know about. There's been things in my past that you don't know about. It doesn't have to change our love for one another.
And it's not because there wouldn't be a willingness to share that past, but we've said to leave that past behind if it's not necessary for building the future that we need.
That's right.
It's not because we've been hiding it from each other or that we refuse to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to challenge you, again, as we've been challenged ourselves, and as we have been able to encourage other people, we need to challenge you that today, if you find yourself in a problem that seems unsolvable, that you feel like there's, you know, we're just not getting past this, what do we do? Well, stop going to people that can't help you. Stop going to friends that will only support your side. Stop going just for sympathy to say, I want you to see it my way. All those things won't help you. If you find yourself in need of counsel, then the first thing that you need is to let the Lord have your heart to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Because if He has your heart, then He has the position to heal your heart. If all you want to do is change the other person, it's very difficult because God wants to change us first. Or He wants to begin changing us while He then can be changing both of us at mm-hmm. the same time.
So we encourage that you start first with the Lord. And if you feel that you need help beyond God and the Word, the written Word that's there, then pray earnestly that God will direct you to just the person that you need to counsel with. And again, go to that person and make sure that your story, your experience, your situation will be confidential, and make sure that they are going to take an unbiased position in counseling with you.
That's right.
As well as that they are going to share with you principles from the Word of God on finding the true solution to heal your marriage.
That's right. Well, He is the solution.
Mm-hmm.
He is the mighty Counselor.
Amen.
And He is the one that wants to give us the best. He may have to use somebody else, but He wants to be our counselor. And I think it would be fitting for us as we close this program to go to the mighty Counselor. And if you find yourself in a difficult position, maybe you can enter into this prayer with us for that mighty Counselor to begin to make the difference in your life. Shall we pray together? Father in heaven, we do thank you for the assurance that you are the God of all flesh, and there's nothing too hard for you, that you do have the solution to every problem. And we come to you for the many people today, maybe someone who's viewing this program who is desperately in need of your saving power. Lord, if they need that power, may you work in their hearts and may you connect them, if necessary, with someone who can be a tool in your hands for their restoration. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, next time we get together, and we hope that you'll be joining us next time, we're going to be talking about something that's a lot of fun.
Keeping our love alive.
That's right. It's fun, isn't it?
It is. It's one of my most favorite topics.
Keeping love alive. You know, we want you to have a marriage that's heart to heart. And we know that the missing link for us was having a relationship with God that was heart to heart first. We cannot hold out on God. We cannot separate God from our marriage and expect to have a marriage that's heart to heart. So next time we're together, we're going to be talking about the ways that we can keep love alive. As we keep that love alive with our Heavenly Father, with our personal Savior, we'll be able to keep love alive in our marriage. We have a marriage that's heart to heart. And we want you to have a marriage that's heart to heart. So we hope we'll see you next time, keeping love alive.
This has been a Three Angels Broadcasting Network production.